Hello, you are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly public affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. In this edition of Local Motion, we will have our monthly Delta County Commissioners Report. Much of this show will be dedicated to talking about the Commissioners' decision to repeal Delta County's oil and gas regulations and turn those decisions over to the state of Colorado. In the Commissioners' regular meeting on Tuesday, September 17th, Commissioners passed a resolution by a 3-0 vote repealing Delta County's oil and gas regulations and approving an interim process for the next 18 to 24 months as staff rewrites new regulations for the county. This edition of the Commissioner's Report was recorded in KVNF Studios on September 3rd, a day after the Commissioners held a planning meeting to take public comment on the resolution to repeal. For KVNF News, here's Felix Belmont.
Welcome to the September issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. Sitting here with me is Mr. Eric Gould, our news analyst and chief commentator. Our guest today is Mr. Don Supas, Delta County Commissioner for District 2. Don, thank you for taking the time to come up to talk to us today.
Pleasure as always. Thank you for the invitation.
I want to start by asking you about yesterday. There was considerable publicity in the press that yesterday was the day that the commissioners were going to decide to repeal the county's oil and gas regulations. It was said it was going to be a public hearing. Tell us what actually happened. And my second part of my question would be, what triggered this move at this time?
Well, first of all, we actually didn't make the decision yesterday. Yesterday was the public hearing, and we took from that public hearing and we directed staff to move forward with a resolution to repeal our oil and gas.
And what was the sentiment in the hearing?
The sentiment in the hearing, we had some support, some against. It was pretty well what we expected. You know, some of the folks really don't want us to get rid of the regulations, and others, you know, they understand where we're at. You know, they understand the situations we're facing. What really brought us to this is a whole plethora of items, to be honest. Number one, the state has intensified their regulating of the oil and gas industry more and more over the last 20 years. When Delta County started this process 20 years ago, there was very little regulation with the state. That's part of the reason the Delta County got involved. Now it's totally flopped. The state has really pretty much taken over every aspect of it. And, you know, the county really was just kind of another step in the process. We really weren't necessarily regulating. So that was one of the issues. And, you know, the other issue is this SB 181 that was passed this year. We don't know where that rulemaking's going. We have a pretty good idea. You know, we seriously doubt that the state's going to ease up on any regulation. But, you know, until we know where that goes, we're kind of at a standstill. And thirdly, you know, we've kind of reached the point with some of the groups out there, the environmental groups, that we really can't win. They're gonna sue us no matter what we do.
Who you say they?
I'll specifically refer to the Citizens for a Healthy Community. You know, we have made a number of concessions over the last number of years, trying to you know, pacify their side of the argument, trying to make things a little easier. And you know, this last lawsuit proved that we just can't do it. They're not willing to compromise. They are a no oil and gas group. And they just don't see it any other way. You know, we had our meeting yesterday. We had people coming in, you know, referring to us not very kindly in the meeting, you know, saying that we were, you know, one of them said we were taking bribes.
You're a bunch of SOBs.
Well, you know, that was the basic gist of a few of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just we've kind of reached that point where we need to figure out how best to handle this argument. And something that just isn't an absolute time suck for staff and does not cost the taxpayers so much money to offer up a regulation that really doesn't do any good because the state already regulates it.
What's the general feeling of the Board of County Commissioners, of Delta County Commissioners at this time on the thing? Do you have any strong feelings one way or the other? Is there any unanimity, or are you divided on it, or what?
I think we really haven't had these discussions amongst ourselves.
Right.
We've had some work sessions where we've discussed it with the groups there in the room, and you've had
more immediate things to work on.
Well, and quite honestly, we don't get that luxury. We don't get to sit down, three of us in a room with nobody around, and say, what do you think on this issue?
Yeah.
The decisions we make are in the public. We don't even have, if we meet somewhere privately, it's
somebody wants to know what's going on. Yeah.
Right. We say, hi, how's the weather? And we really don't talk county business.
Yeah.
So I can't really say that I can speak for the other commissioners. I can tell
I'm
you.
I'm just curious. Say what you can say or want to say and it go at that.
And I can tell you right now there's a frustration.
I'm sure there is.
The commissioners are frustrated. We've really worked hard to try to do our best to put proper regulations out there, to make sure that the air quality and the water quality is safe, to make sure that county interests are protected, and yet still protect the private property rights of those mineral holders.
Is there ever a day when the commissioners are not frustrated about something?
Well, I think that's human nature. If you're not frustrated about something, you're not living.
Okay, I turn it over to Eric here to come up with his important questions.
All right, very good.
Thank you, Felix, and thank you, Commissioner, for being here. I do want to talk a little bit more about that meeting yesterday. I was there. Some of these questions might end up being repetitive, and I apologize.
No problem.
I've just got quite a few questions from people who asked me to talk about some of these issues. Obviously, it's a huge topic. It's generated a lot of discussion and some very strong feelings on both sides. We saw that at the meeting yesterday at the courthouse. And I just wondered, let's start off with that meeting. What was your reaction to that meeting? And when feelings about an issue are so strong, does it affect your decision making?
You still have to be a person of principle. And I listen when people come and talk. You were there. You saw the anger in a few of those people. Once again, I go back to a statement made several times now that absolutely nowhere in the world are oil and gas going to operate with zero regulations in this county, even if the county doesn't regulate, because the state does regulate basically everything that oil and gas does. So some of the statements that were made by the people there speaking, saying that there would be zero regulation and it would be industry run amok, is just absolutely false. I mean, they're just factually inaccurate.
Are there federal regulations on top of all the rest of it?
For the federal minerals, yes, there are, which most of what we have in Delta County are federal minerals, of which this county does not have a voice in what happens with those anyways. So to think that oil and gas is going to leave Delta County wholly because Delta County doesn't allow it is not accurate, because most of them are on federal land.
One of the things that really interested me yesterday was this notion of bullying. There were people who spoke out on both sides saying that if you voted for a moratorium, you've been bullied. If you vote to repeal the regs, you've been bullied. If you don't vote to repeal the regs, you've been bullied. How do you deal with that? These people are so very passionate about their feelings, rightly so. Using the word bullying, did you feel like anyone was being bullied in there yesterday?
That term has come up so many times since I've become commissioner. Like you said, Eric, you've got people on both sides that are very passionate about the issue, and they feel very strong. And you are not going to convince them to feel any other way. So you have to accept what they say and try to glean from it what you can and do the best you can with both sides of the information, which is what I really feel the commissioners have done with what we've done in oil and gas. We've done our best to make sure that it is safe, to make sure that it's being done right. I've visited the well pads up here. I can tell you these guys are taking every precaution they can. And these sites are, extremely professional, extremely clean, and they're doing the job right. But, you know, if somebody's against oil and gas, you're never going to convince them of that. I've seen, you know, salamanders and other types of animals in their water ponds. They're the water that they pull out of the wells, they pump them into ponds. And there's salamanders and other animals living in these ponds that, you know, this is the extracted water that is supposed to be so dangerous, and yet there's animals living in it. So some of it is a matter, as a commissioner, you have to glean the information that's correct and understand some of it is and some of it isn't. And that's what we have to do.
When we're talking about implications of giving up the authority to the state, what are the changes going to be on the ground for the people actually doing the work with oil and gas? For example, the Planning Commission, applications will be sent to them. People who have to deal with public comment, what are these implications? What are you giving up to the state that you had before?
Basically, the state process stays the same. What we're doing is we're just avoiding any kind of an application process through the county. The state will notify us, and we will, as part of our interim process, we will make sure that all local entities are notified. We'll make sure neighbors are notified, and we'll make sure people can voice their opinions and voice their concerns through the county, and then we will forward them on to the state. And that is what we're doing in the interim process, even though we are not personally taking applications or approving permits.
You mentioned the interim process. Yesterday, Elise Ackerman Castleberry talked a lot about that. This is the time when Delta County will have repealed its regulations and staff is working on the new ones. Are you confident that staff knows exactly how this interim period will play out and who will be in charge of dealing with new applications and with complaints about the old ones?
You know, Eric, if there's one thing I can tell you, it's that I do not have a functioning crystal ball. And to tell you that I know for sure that everything's going to work just the way it's supposed to, I would never make that promise. I'm sure something is going to come up that we're going to say, oh, well, we should have done this. There's no way of avoiding that. What we're going to do is we're going to do our best to make sure that the citizens of Delta County have a voice and their voice is heard by the state of Colorado.
Something that interests me about the Senate Bill 181, it was kind of imposed and signed into law without any real framework for how they were going to implement it. They kind of just jumped right in and passed it. Is that kind of feeling common as well at the county level? Do you feel like you kind of just have to make this decision to repeal and see what happens just because it's kind of been thrown to you by Senate Bill 181 and no one really knows what those regulations are going to be?
You know, as with everything we get out of the state legislature, most of the time we throw our hands up and say, what the heck were they thinking? You've got 100 people that sit over there in the Senate and the House in the state building in Denver, and very rarely do they even have a clue as to what's going on in rural Colorado. So this isn't the first time that we've sat here and wrung our hands because we didn't know what the heck to do because of something the state gave us. But as far as repealing regulations for Delta County, I don't feel that's, you know, one of those wait and see moments as much as it is, you know, why are we putting the taxpayers through this stress, putting staff through this stress when we're not accomplishing anything, when everything's already being regulated by the state? If we are going to adopt regulations as a county, it needs to be something that we know is going to benefit this county. And until we know what SB 181 is going to cover, we really can't answer that question.
And thanks for joining us here on the Delta County Commissioner's Report. This is the September edition of the show. I'm Eric Gould with KBNF News. Felix Belmont is here as well. We're talking with Delta County Commissioner Don Supas. So far, the discussion has been about yesterday's planning session meeting at Delta County Courthouse, talking about repealing Delta County's oil and gas regulations. We do have a couple more questions about that, and then we'll move on. Commissioner, a lot of Delta County citizens have the impression that the commissioners are repealing their oil and gas regulations so they can avoid future lawsuits. Is that the case?
I'm not going to lie to you. That's part of it. You know, we approved the same application for seismic study that the Forest Service and that Gunnison County did. And Delta County was the only of the three entities that got sued. So at some point in time, it becomes obvious that it's a political battle And it's not about the environment or environmental situations. So we need to make sure that we have regulations moving forward that are going to be, you know, quasi-lawsuit proof. And that is our ultimate goal here. And that's part of the reason for the repeal.
Yesterday's meeting, in my count, had about half and half public who spoke in favor of repealing and against it. My impression, however, was that the majority of those people who talked were either family and or part of families who work in oil and gas, or they were lobbyists from an environmental group. It didn't seem to me like there were very many citizens there actually just voicing the opinion of the average Delta County citizen. Was that your impression?
Actually, we had quite a few citizens speaking. You know, we're kind of at a funny spot in this country and the same way in this county. You know, I talk to a lot of people on the street that will come to me and say, you know, you're doing a good job, keep it up. And I'll say, well, why don't you write a letter to the editor and let the rest of the county know we're doing a good job. And they'll say, you know, they really don't feel comfortable doing that because they don't want to be ostracized by their neighbors. And so we've got a lot of people in this county that the only time that you know how they feel is in that November ballot box. And that's when you really know how they feel. So, you know, we've really got to, I wish there was a way that we could tone down the rhetoric and be more inclusive and avoid some of the emotion and some of the anger that goes along with some of these subjects. But I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did.
In terms of being more inclusive, as you said, what do you think commissioners can do to overcome the impression that they only represent their own district? Here in District 3, here in Paonia, where our building is, a lot of citizens believe that the North Fork Valley and Paonia in particular simply are not represented on the commission, and when they're heard, they believe they're ignored. How can commissioners like yourself in District 2 and Mike Lane in District 1 help to improve that? How can they work on this notion that they don't represent people here in Paonia?
You know, we'll always pick up the phone. We'll always answer the phone. We'll always return calls. Anytime I get a call from somebody, no matter which district it is, I always call them back. I always talk to them. We always discuss their issues. I try to help them out. And that's, you know, that's the some of the best things we can do is just make sure to let people know that the lines are open, that we will, you know, communicate with them. We'll talk to them about their issues. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But, you know, we do listen to everybody.
Okay. Thank you so much, Commissioner. We're here on the Delta County Commissioner's Report. It's the September edition. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News. One of the topics was at the July 16th meeting was mosquito control. And there's an issue with spraying, and it conflicts with hemp growers. A resolution was introduced to prohibit the spraying within 1,000 feet of a hemp field. And Commissioner, where are we on that right now? Did that resolution pass?
This was actually a resolution of the mosquito district themselves, I believe, not the Board of Commissioners. So this is a mosquito district one, which comprises most of Delta, some of the Corey Bench area heading up towards Surface Creek. They are the ones that made that decision on spraying within 1,000 feet of a hemp grow. You know, these guys that are doing this hemp, you know, this is such a baby industry that they don't have the certifications yet that a lot of other produce does. So they're not allowed to necessarily sell their goods, or if they do, it's a much lower price if they have some of the pesticide residue in their oil that they're selling. So I can understand the hemp growers' concern, but the same thing in turn, you know, we have human lives we've got to worry about here. And we have a mosquito district that still needs to get this job done with a limited mill levy that they receive. So this is yet one more of the industry, hemp issue industries, that the challenges that we need to figure out. You know, we're kind of leading the way in the country. So in that, some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad, because when other people do the trailblazing for you, they figure out the way not to do it. and Colorado's trying to figure that out ourselves. So I'm hoping that in the next few years that we can really move forward on a couple of these issues. But right now, I think it's just going to be a lot of give and take. You know, the hemp guys are going to have to be a little more understanding if they've got hemp grows next to highly prolific areas for mosquitoes. And the mosquito district's going to have to be conscious of where they're spraying, because we do have hemp growing all over this county.
Where does Delta County stand right now with respect to the disease from mosquito bites? Did we have a fairly good summer?
We're at 7 confirmed cases right now.
7 confirmed cases.
I know it's a rough year for mosquitoes. I know we're having a lot of mosquito issues. As far as whether it's worse or better than years previous, I don't have
where we stood.
But yeah, I believe it's 7 is the count we're at now, and I'm not totally sure about that, but I believe it's 7.
Right.
I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News. Here's a quick update on the West Nile virus in Delta County. The Delta County Health Department said in a press release on September 17th that the current number of human cases of West Nile virus has risen to 15. According to the release, 6 of the reported West Nile cases have been reported in residents of the North Fork region of Delta County. 3 cases were around the city of Delta, and 6 cases were reported in the Surface Creek area of the county. The presence of positive samples of mosquitoes is a clear indication that West Nile virus remains present and poses a risk to those who are bitten. August through September are the months when most human cases of West Nile virus have been reported in Colorado. Health officials say most people bitten by a West Nile virus-infected mosquito show no symptoms of illness. However, some people may develop symptoms 3 to 15 days after being bit. About 1 in 5 infected persons will have mild illness with fever, and about 1 in 150 infected people will become severely ill. Physicians are urged to test patients for the West Nile virus if they show signs of fever, altered mental status, suspected meningitis or encephalitis, or sudden painless paralysis in the absence of stroke in the summer months. The health department strongly urges the public to take precautions and preventative measures against being bitten by mosquitoes and becoming infected with the virus. The following prevention tips are encouraged. Drain standing water on property. Avoid being outdoors at dusk and dawn, the time when mosquito activity is highest. DEET is an infective ingredient to look for in bug repellent. Dress in long sleeves and pants during dusk and dawn and in areas where mosquitoes are active. And screen windows and doors of your home to keep the mosquitoes out. And now let's get back to the September edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. Back to the hemp issue real quick. Where would you describe we're at? You know, I drove through Delta County on the way to Montrose the other day, and I was in the Dobies out behind Delta there, and there's several fields out there. You can just see they're starting to grow the hemp. But then you cross county line and you get into Montrose, and they have way more, at least it seems like, that you can see. Why is that? Do you think Delta is kind of lagging behind in terms of this new hemp industry, or do you think we're kind of right about where we should be?
I think a lot of it has to do with water. You know, most of Delta County doesn't operate within the Uncompahgre Valley water user system. So it really changes the water supply and the water quality. You know, most of these hemp growers are looking for late season water. So a lot of these guys up in the North Fork, they really struggle with that late season water. There's a lot of years that Fire Mountain Canal runs dry and these guys don't get water in the late season, which is not conducive for hemp growth. Versus, you know, the folks that are operating under the Uncompahgre system, they get that late season water, and there's a lot more, you know, there's pretty much a guarantee of even 75% of water, even in a drought year, from the Uncompahgre system.
Is there a feeling that this whole hemp thing has a future? Is it a agricultural product for the future for us, or is it just I hate to use the word, a fad?
You know, I think there's some real trepidation amongst the growers. They are happy with the money that's being made, but they also know that we could we could bottom out this market at any time. It's a commodity just like anything else. When the market gets saturated, the price will go down and farmers quit making money. So I think these guys are going in with their eyes wide open on it, though. Most of these guys realize that this could be a short-term gain on this. I really think that some of these guys that are getting their infrastructure in now, while the money's good, that if they have that infrastructure in and paid for, that they've got a good chance of making a go of it in the future, even when the price does go down.
We have time for one or two more questions, and then we have to wind it up.
Okay. Thank you, Felix. Let's talk about budget. That's always an important item here with county government. The county began 2019 with 43% in reserves. It's county policy to maintain 25% in the general fund. We've asked this before, but why does the county maintain such a high percentage in reserve?
Well, I can tell you in one answer, 2008. If there wasn't a reserve in 2008, this county would be in big trouble. I would personally love to carry a larger reserve than what we do. The 25% is just kind of a minimum policy number we set. It's not that we are going to maintain, you know, that it's, if it's over 25%, we're going to spend it. I think that would be a misuse of the taxpayers' money and the taxpayers' trust. We are trying to invest while the money is there. We're trying to invest in some of the infrastructure and make sure that we're covered, because we know that another downturn in the economy could happen at any day. And if we didn't have that money in the bank, we would be in huge amount of trouble, because no matter what, there are still goods and services this county has to provide, even when the economy tanks.
Well, gentlemen, unfortunately, that's just about our time, but I'm glad that we can end on a sort of a happy note. This has been the September Delta County Commissioner's Report. And for Eric and myself, Felix Belmont, this is KVNF's effort to get this vital information out to the as much of the public as possible. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.